trying to get this up here where it'll work better, so we made some changes, and something's different with my iPad now. It won't pick it up, so I'm gonna have to go from the notebook tonight, and I'll have to go ahead and go through these things, which I think I can do. I went over it many times. And remember last week, I think we left off with the demons. And that's one thing to remember, and that this is an outstanding lesson on faith and works. And it is the problem we have in teaching people. Most of the religious world believes in faith, and which we do too, but not just faith alone. And they pick up the faith alone. They believe all you have to do is believe, and then you leave all this other stuff go. That's why we have people today that think, well, I don't have to come to church. I don't have to continue living a Christian life. I've become a Christian, and now I believe I'm okay. So they don't believe in the other things that are presented in the gospel. This is what James tries to point out about that. So on page 60, where it's got that 220, that's chapter 2, verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So if faith is dead, then is that any good to you? No. You're not acceptable to God that way. But do you want to know? A lot of people don't want to know. They won't listen. So that's a problem. The phrase, do you want to know, means are you willing to learn something? Have you ever said to someone, if you would just listen, you would learn something? Do you think teachers ever say that? That happens a lot. This is the same phrase. This expression calls upon the hearer to be willing to recognize and acknowledge the truth. Foolish means it's vain or empty. It's worth nothing. He is foolish because he's not willing to learn. And that happens so much. And that is our attitude. What kind of attitude do we have as a Christian? The foolish man describes one who is spiritually empty, that corresponds to the emphasis of his faith. The one who would argue against the logic of James, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit in this, is foolish. That's his logic of what they're doing. The second part of the verse, that faith without works is dead. Dead comes originally from a word which means unemployed, idle, inactive, ineffective, amounts to nothing. That means if you don't act on your faith, it's not good for anything. Matthew 20 verses 3 and 6 and Titus 1 and 12. There's other places it talks about that, about you have to act on your faith. Therefore, it means to be lazy and useless. It is useless to have faith if it does not express itself in obedience. One of the things I keep thinking back to is Noah. And the Old Testament says Noah did all that God commanded him. That's why I say, really, you can put this in this faith and works. You can say, follow God's instructions. Three words. If you're doing that, then you're obedient to God. And that's what this works means. Faith and works together. What kind of works? Works of obedience. And that's where people don't understand that. They think, well, you can't earn your salvation, and we can't. We can't do good works. And some actually believe this. We do a bunch of good works, we're going to be in heaven. That's all we have to do. So God owes us because we've worked. That's our pay. We get into heaven. The gospel does not teach that, and that's where the error is. But they don't understand the two different types, and actually there's more different types of work than two. But the two types that he mentions here is the one for merit. Someone thinks they're doing this, and then God owes them something, which is wrong thinking. And the other one is obedience. That type of work is the one that God's interested here in this place. Also, I will mention another third type of works. It talks about works that Jesus did. So you got to know what kinds of works it's talking about. I mentioned that Bible study Sunday there about love a couple weeks or a week or so ago. There's different kinds of love. We use one word for love, and then it means a whole range of things. We mentioned about loving your wife and loving ice cream or some kind of food. there are entirely different meanings to love at that point. Same way with works mentioned in the Bible. You've got to read before it and after it and understand what the context was. What was it talking about here? And is this talking about obedience, or is it talking about working for merit? In other words, earning things. And we cannot earn our salvation. The Bible clearly teaches that. So I'm starting now at 60. Page 60 on A. It has been said that Satan, who is the great deceiver, uses imitation as one of the most effective weapons. If we can convince a person that dead faith is living faith, he has a person in his power. So we have a person that thinks they're okay, they're not obeying God, and they're not okay. And that's, many's been deceived with that. By false teaching, wrong teaching, incorrect teaching. Some are very sincere. You got to remember that. They've been taught this, they believe it, they've been given verses, but they're not looking at the whole, the entirety of what's written on works and obedience. You know, there's things here that proves this now. The idea of faith without works is that it is only the result of wanting salvation. The rest of this section explains this verse, and this is good. Now we're going to go to the Old Testament, and this shows us what this type of work it is. So we're looking at Abraham first. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works? Well, what kind of works were they? This is a rhetorical question that implies an answer of yes. The fact that Abraham is used shows that even the father of the faithful had to obey. Abraham did these works. It is possible that this point is being made because the Jews believe that being a descendant of Abraham was all that was needed for salvation. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10. Justified, the word justified in the verse means to be acquitted or pronounced and treated as righteous and innocent. James is talking about faith saving a man in James 2:14. This does not mean that one who is already just or acquitted is now proved or declared righteous, as some contend. This is the action of God in declaring him righteous by works. And that's works of obedience. This refers to works of obedience because by faith, works are the ground or reason for which Abraham was declared righteous. It was not Abraham's whole life, but especially his offering that James has in mind here from Genesis 22, verses 9 through 12. The second part of the verse reads, when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. There is the obedience. Was he doing anything that God told him to do before that? No. What if he had stopped right there and said, I'm just going to do faith? He had to follow God's directions. He offered Isaac. So it says, offered is a participle used in the adverbial of causal sense. Here's, he's getting into English and talking about the order of the sentence. Therefore, his offering of Isaac was the cause of his justification. He wouldn't have been justified if he hadn't really done that, because God told him to. So he was going to offer Isaac, went ready to do it, and God stopped him. It was not that Abraham did this work, but that he did it as an obedience to faith. And that's what we have to realize of what faith really is. The only kind of work that brings justification is a work done in obedience to a command of God. Abraham had faith in God, but it was not accounted to him for righteousness until it proved itself in works. Abraham recognized that it was his obligation to obey God, to trust God, and to keep his promises. In Genesis 22 and 9 through 12, where this account is told, there is nothing said about justification. The offering was followed by a blessing being pronounced on Abraham that his seed would be multiplied and all nations blessed through him. Because you have obeyed my voice. Do you listen to that? That's a phrase right from the verse. Genesis 22 and 18. This phrase should be compared with, because you have done this thing. You know, and people are still believing just faith, and I don't have to do anything. It is not according to the Bible. Paul's use of the Old Testament passage implies justification. This promise was also repeated in Genesis 26 and verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice. James could clearly see that from the Old Testament record that acts of obedience had led Abraham to another declaration of righteousness before God. Thus the act, or if we want to call it works, is shown to be the basis of Abraham's justification. Abraham was not justified before he obeyed. He had to obey. This does not mean that his works alone saved him. James mentions only what has been left out by some in explaining man's justification. So people have been taught this for generations. This came about, and it looks like to me, I was thinking, they were saying, well, this started hundreds of years ago. I think it started right here with James. Why is James writing about this the way he is, trying to tell people what this type of works is, and that faith has to have works with it, this type of obedience work? Why is he doing that? I think it was going on right in the early church. Some were just wanting to have faith and not do anything. So we know that's incorrect. James mentions only what has been left out by some in explaining man's justification. I'm at number four, part D. The two, faith and works, that's so important, work together, as it goes on to show. The difference between the section on Abraham's justification in Romans chapter 4 and verses 2 through 5 and this one is to be explained by the difference in their meaning of the word works. Romans 4, 2 through 5, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about. Now, see, this is talking about the other type of works. If Abraham was doing works of merit, he would boast about, oh, I've done this, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. So we cannot expect God to be in debt. He is not in debt. He doesn't owe us this. We are saved by grace. So there's no way that that's going to happen. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In other words, if you obey what he says, it's going to be counted for righteousness. The other way, if you've got it in your attitude that God owes you salvation, then that is incorrect as saying that faith is the only thing you need. Both of those would be incorrect. You can't say God owes me salvation and I earned it, I've done this work. That is wrong thinking. It's not Bible. And it's the same way if you say faith only, it's not faith only. So those two are both wrong. It has to be faith and obedience. In this passage, Paul is referring to works of the law of Moses as the basis of justification. Also, if you go over in Galatians, which Tom and Mark have been teaching, chapter 2, verse 16, chapter 3, verse 11, chapter 5, verse 4, and then look at Romans 3, 28, where Paul adds the law to his denial that one is justified by works or deeds. He insists, this is Paul, that Abraham's justification was before the law of Moses and apart from it, just as he insists it was before circumcision. Again, the Jews wanting to bring things back from the old law and put it into the new law, Romans 4 and 10 through 12. Therefore, Paul and James agree that a work of obedience growing out of one's faith in God, in Christ, is the basis for justification. So a lot of people say, well, there's a disagreement here. No, it's over the two different types of works. And Paul and James are teaching the same thing. You have to understand, you have to obey. Follow God's directions. You go on and read the rest of the scripture, it tells us what we have to do. So we're on verse 22 now, chapter 2, 22. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? So this is talking about faith has to be combined with obedience. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, working together with means to cooperate with or to help? Romans 8, 28. In the last part of that verse, and by works faith was made perfect. Remember the word perfect in the New Testament meant a better synonym for it would be complete. Abraham's faith was not perfected or completed until after it had been combined with works. Only then did his faith do for him what God intended faith to do. Justification is what faith is to bring about, but it will not do it without works to complete it. What kind of works? Obedience works. So without works, Abraham's faith was imperfect, not complete, not mature, not reaching its desired ends. Without works, our faith is also imperfect. Works are necessary for acceptable faith. To see what we're doing with times here, we'll go as far as we can, what we have times for. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Would he have been called the friend of God if he hadn't obeyed? If he said, no, God, I'm not going to do this, or I'm just going to do nothing. I just, like he didn't hear him and didn't do anything with Isaac, he would not have been called the friend of God. But he put obedience with the faith he had, and he did go to offer Isaac, and that's why he was justified. That's why he's called the friend of God. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, this refers to what he said about Abraham in Genesis 15:6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Why does it say he believed? He believed because he acted on what he was told to do. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. The scripture that says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, was fulfilled when he acted on his faith and offered Isaac on the altar. That's Genesis 15 and 6, and James brings it up in chapter 2, verse 21, and also it's mentioned again in Genesis in chapter 22, verses 9 through 12. Faith alone has never been enough for righteousness. The demons have faith, but they are not righteous. Righteousness requires faith and obedience working together. Abraham demonstrated an active, obedient faith. And I think this was where we left off last week, I think. I went back over some of it. There's really no reason for the confusion in religious world today concerning the issue of faith and works. One extreme says faith only, and the other extreme says works only. Both of them are wrong. The Bible is clear that neither extreme is correct. God's word teaches that we are counted as righteous when faith and works of obedience combine together. Galatians 5, 6 and James 2, 18 through 22. Today we follow the example of Abraham by having an active, obedient, working faith. That should be mentioned again. Active, obedient, working faith. That's what God is after. Next part of that verse says, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham was not called the friend of God until much later in the scripture, in Isaiah 41 and 8, 2 Chronicles 20 and 7. Abraham becoming the friend of God was the result of the obedience of his faith in offering Isaac. He was justified by his working faith, and as a consequence, he was also referred to as God's friend. We speak of being made friends again with God and mean that we are reconciled to God. Verse 24. To see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Now, is that saying anything less about faith? No, faith is very important, but we combine it with obedience, and then we are justified by what we're doing. You see then that a man is justified by works. James makes it clear that his argument that works justify is clear and forceful. Not works alone, but works are necessary for justification. If Abraham was not justified by works, then that made his faith complete. Then the argument made by James does not make sense. So we know that James is talking about putting faith into actions. Follow God's instructions, like the way I like to say it. This is the only place in the Bible where the phrase faith only is used and is condemned as means of justification. Therefore, teaching that one is saved by faith only is clearly wrong. One who hopes to be saved by the word of truth must show his faith by his works. Now, this next section, A here, These are all the things that are actually involved in faith. So you can't say just one thing, faith, and faith alone. Faith is works in cooperation with all that list there, all those things, grace, mercy, and it has the scripture where those are mentioned. I'm working right now on a lesson on that, I think. That would make a good lesson. Grace, mercy, Jesus' blood, works, the works of obedience like James talks about, and it gives examples there in Acts chapter 10 and Philippians 2. Obedience talked about in Hebrews, faith and obedience. Faith and endurance in Matthew 10:22. Faith and patience in Hebrews and Revelations. That's Hebrews 6:12 and Revelations 4:12-13. Love of the truth and faith, 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Fear and faith, Jude 23 and Philippians 2:12. Faith and belief together in Hebrews 11:6 and Acts 16:30-31. Repentance and faith in Luke 13:3 and 2 Corinthians 7:10. Confession and faith, Matthew 10:32 and Romans 10:9-10. Baptism and faith, Mark 16:16, with Jesus doing the talking there in 1 Peter 3:20-21. Look at all the things that that are involved with faith. All those things are involved in faith. There's no doubt we are saved by faith, but we are not saved by faith only. And some believe that, and we're taught that. And it's been taught for hundreds of years at least. And I think it must have been back in the church when James was trying to teach them that it's not faith only. Looking at the list above, we can clearly see that we are not saved by faith only. The phrase faith only is only found once in the scriptures, and it teaches we are not saved by faith only. That's so strange. People think that it's faith only, and then the Bible verse that uses the word only with it has the word not in front of it. So you've got to take that word not out of there if you're going to believe that. The Bible says not by faith only. And another example here is Rahab the harlot. And it talks about, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by faith when she received the messengers and sent them away out another way? I'm just going to check. We do have some kids here tonight, Susan?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know whether we'll be able to show anything. I don't know whether maybe Ernie can get one up on there. We'll see. I'll go on until they come out then. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works? Rahab was justified by works in the same way that Abraham was. Rahab provides another example for James to emphasize that justification is not by faith only, but of necessity includes acts of obedience to God's will. Her example was probably used by James to show that the requirements for justification are the same for all, because in matters of what the Jews thought, how did they feel about Abraham? Well, they wanted to be from one of his descendants. Rahab, probably not so much. So he's showing them, and it doesn't matter to God who it is, your faith's going to work for you if you actually obey. So even Rahab here is brought up, and that's Galatians 3:28. When she received the messengers, and sent them out another way. That's the second part of the verse. Both James and the book of Hebrews point out that it was Rahab's faith and obedience that resulted in her justification. Faith and works cooperated with and helped each other. In Hebrews 11:31, by faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. She did the action that would show obedience. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Again, he just saying this over and over so people will understand it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, this is a well-known medical fact and quite appropriate to illustrate the argument's conclusion here. If somebody sees your faith's dead, is it worth anything to you? No. So James actually makes that statement. So faith without works is dead. You had to have obedience with it. Faith without works is dead, just like a physical body, when someone dies, without a life-giving spirit is dead. Faith that is not expressed in obedient works is useless and definitely not able to justify or save. In response to the question, what must I do to be saved? The answer has always been to believe and what? Obey. Let the Christians, and we're looking at sections here of things that we need to do. What kind of attitude do we have to have in worship? Well, we obey in worship. We look at the New Testament, see what they did in worship, and we do the same thing. We try to emulate those things. Why? Because we are the creation and God is the creator, and we are here to worship him and to please him. What about in service? Well, we look at the things they did in the New Testament, which God called good, and as Christians, we try to do those things. That's obedience, looking for the things that we can do. What about morality? How do we live? Do we live like this world? No. We look at how the Christians live, and they were moral in what God taught them and showed them, so we are to live that way. So obedience is in all those things, worship, service, morality. In order to perfect his faith and result in justification. So this is, completes our faith. It shows our faith when we do those things. Faith is trust, devotion, love, and, of course, obedience. Obedience cannot be neglected. Now, it starts here with an admonition to teachers. This is starting chapter 3. And I think that's where he starts in the next lesson on that. So I did get to cover, I think, what I wanted on that. I'll check that, and we'll go back over it next week on that. Hopefully next week we'll get things ironed out here with things between the two systems. I always think of this as like Fords and Chevrolets. You can't go take a Ford part and move it. And then that's what it's always with this Apple. Apple and PCs, they're totally different, and they work different, and that causes some troubles. Actually, years ago, I thought Apple wouldn't be able to keep up with PCs. I thought they'd go under, but they have held out. Still a big difference in them. So that is the lesson. We'll start with chapter 3 next time. If I had time, we'd probably read chapter 2 again right now, but because of working on that, we ran out of time tonight. So we'll see what happens here with Ernie and see if he wants to try to get that up on the PC and see if it works. Thank you for your attention. That's one thing I might say about the notes we have in this. This is one of the better ones, I think, the notes for James, and it's probably several preachers have worked on this over the years. So I think they have very good notes on the book of James. I'm also in the process of looking at other classes that we might take for the future, because we're over halfway through this. So right now I'm thinking I'd like to go into the Gospels maybe. And I also was looking at Acts. And I looked at some of the letters that Paul wrote, but where we'll go next with that. If you have any opinions on it, you might let me know tonight. But I'm looking at the notes, what they're like, and who teaches the class. We've got several other instructors we've never heard before. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're over halfway with the course now.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to congregate, to worship you and sing these songs unto you. God, we're thankful for our lesson today in the book of James and the effort put forward from our elders, that we're able to continue to learn from your word and become better Christians and be the examples that we need to be to help your kingdom grow. God, please be with those unable to be with us this evening, those that have had recent procedures, those that have various health ailments, and those that have upcoming tests and procedures. Please be with them during their challenging times, providing them comfort. God, we ask you to be with Brother Dave as he continues to recover from his procedures and his illness. And we also ask you to be with Sister Holly as she's recovering from a surgery. God, please be with us through the rest of our service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Invitation Songs 596.
596, Who at the Door is Standing. I just went past a song here that would have to do with tonight. Guess what it is? Trust and obey. So that's one thing we have to remember when we are becoming a child of God and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, is we have to trust, believe in Christ, but we also have to obey. I read things there tonight in the notes and lessons about we have to put that obedience in service and morality and in other things, but we also have to put obedience in when it comes to obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can say to that, I've heard the word of God, I believe, and I'm going to stop right there. I believe, I'll say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I'm going to leave my belief right there. And if we don't do the other things that Christ taught, then is our faith going to work for us? No. That's a dead faith like James talked about. We have to obey the entire gospel. That's what they did in the New Testament. They just didn't have faith only and become Christians. They obeyed the other things. They confessed before other people, like the Bible says to do, with the mouth. And they also repented of their sins. And then they were baptized for the remission of sin. All that is works of obedience in becoming a Christian. So this is in all God's word. If we just look at it and we don't do anything, it doesn't make any sense to you. That wouldn't work any place as far as following instructions and stuff. How would that work in the world? You're told to do things, you don't do them. You just ignore that. So we have to have faith and obedience. We have to follow the good news of Jesus Christ and obey all those things. That's why I do like that verse in Psalms 119. It's 160. It says the entirety of God's word. And if you look at all the versions, one version says you have to obey the entirety of God's word. It's all true. Another place it says all of God's words is true. Another place it says some, another version, S-U-M, you add it all together. And it just goes on and on. All those words mean the same thing. You have to obey. So if there's anyone here tonight that needs to become a Christian, you can. Or if you want our prayers, we'll be able to help you with that. If something you want us to pray for, this is a good time for that as well. So we'll get this worked out too while I'm up here talking. We'll get this worked out with the technology. It just takes time. We have some of the microphones too. We want the audience to be able, when we're asking questions in Bible study too. So we'll get this worked out, and it builds patience. That's one thing with this. It just takes patience and don't give up.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. All through the dark hours dreary, knocking again is he. Jesus, art thou not weary, waiting so long for me? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart, I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, will abide with thee.
Most of the announcements are still the same from Sunday. Holly's recovering at home. Nice to see Bonnie back with us tonight. It was good to see Dave and Rosa with us Sunday morning. Is there anything new, different, or that I don't know about that needs announced?
Holly said she was sore tonight.
Yeah, I imagine.
Susan?
My youth group wants to let everybody know that if you have any yard work or you need help cleaning out a garage, or you have like an elderly neighbor or somebody that would need some help, let them know, because they want to go out to the community and try to give a helping hand.
Well, you know, I have some test grass down at the house. As soon as it gets good and tall, yeah.
Almighty Father, which art in heaven, it is so good to be here tonight and study your word of truth, this book of James. God, help us be zealous for good works and give you the praise and glorify you and which art in heaven. Thanks for Bonnie being able to be here tonight. Strengthen her and help her get better and stronger. And grow spiritually, and us all grow spiritually. Be with Holly and help her heal her surgery. Help Steve and his heart condition get better. Be with our young people here tonight. Help them grow in the Word and become stronger. Bless our teachers. Dave Hall, we prayed he'd get well, and be with Rosa. And Jim, he's had a lot going on. Help him get well. And so many. Susie Gibbs is feeling better now. Bless her. And all the church, bless us. Help us grow in number and be strong in the faith, and don't give up. In Jesus' name, amen.